Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It looks like I think the levels are going to be okay. I'm still trying to work out this stuff, having to come off a service and jump right into another service. It's a fun one, I got to tell you guys. It's a hoot.
Yeah, you're coming through very clear, so whatever you did seems to have been the right thing.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. Well, let's get started. This is the Hour of Truth, and we've got myself, Rick Utzler, right over here in Lake Havasu City. Philip, how you doing, Philip? Philip Walthall there in South Carolina.
Doing fine. Thank you, Rick.
There in the studio with Philip is Brad Capshaw. How you doing, Brad?
Very well, thank you.
And a little bit closer to me, a little bit west of them, we have James Utzler in Georgia. How you doing, Georgia? How you doing, Georgia? How you doing, James?
Doing fine, Rick. Thank you.
Great. So let's go ahead and jump in, guys. We're a little bit late. I apologize for the late start. Let's get started. What do you guys want to talk about this morning?
Well, the first thing I want to know is if we got that five-position drive shaft in on the guy's Chevy. James? I just got it.
Yes, we did.
Yoo-hoo. Oh, man.
Praise God.
Yeah, the hard times bring you closer to Jesus. That's a good thing, right?
I definitely struggled at moments.
But it's all cool. Done? Out the door?
It is, Rick.
Good. And customers pleased?
I believe so.
Good. Brad, did you read something today about not slothful in business?
Yeah, that's on the back end of Romans 12 or about midway through. Yeah, not slothful in business.
I thought that's you'd mentioned that. You know, it's amazing how important it is to actually follow through. There's so much that happens, and you know, gosh, I have to repent because I've allowed myself to let deadlines sort of be a fluid thing.
You're not alone.
It's not good. So Lord, I do ask your forgiveness, but there's no but. I do just ask forgiveness. When we are prudent and diligent in business, it's amazing how much of a difference that can make in people's perception of believers. Because, gosh, I mean, some of the worst people, quote unquote, to try and do business with are so-called Christians.
All right, I see where this is going. I hired a lawyer. Your recovery is filed with the courts, but it's not quite ready to go after the dude. But I'm going to call him this week. All right, I'm so busted.
Now I know what you're talking about, but I had no inkling that you had been deficient in your labors, Brad. your labors for me, no less. Goodness. No,
it's kind of funny. I didn't think you had any intention of bringing light to that by any means.
Get that done, Bradley.
I have a bristling conscience, but yes.
Yeah. That's funny.
But, you know, you're right. I was. It's been, I guess, a little instructive to me because – Ricky, you were really more of a search engine optimization computer website guy, and then you got into air guns, and it seemed like, you know, early on, it was something you did really as a way to just break free from the mundane, right?
Yeah, you know, it started as a hobby, just to, you know, because sitting behind a computer screen, you know, gosh, for 10, 12 hours a day gets a little old.
Yeah, you get out in the open air, put a few rounds off. It was fun, and then it was a little more than fun. And I'm kind of watching you do that because I, at that point in time, as it turned out, I was working with you and actually for you somewhat. And I watched you get better at it, and then you had that – what is that thing with the little antennas on it that measures speed?
Chronograph.
Chronograph. So you got the chronograph, and I'm kind of looking at it going, God, this guy's got more money than sense. What the heck is he doing? And then the next thing I know, you got the website, or you know, you had the videos going up on YouTube, and you're talking about diligent business, just that you took what was a hobby and something you loved, but you didn't back off and you pushed, and it's been several years now, but that is a big part of how you support your family and the ministry. And really what that is just, maybe it's not a hobby. Maybe I wonder how far I could push this. And that thing about how far can I push it and tie a bow on it, that's diligence, right?
Well, for me, I don't know how I can. I enjoyed it. Okay, so there is a sense of work that I do that I don't like doing. I don't know how else to put it. You know,
work
it's
is
just
work.
Truth. Well, it's the truth of the matter is, if God's given it for you to do, you ought to be happy doing it. And so I say that I don't like doing it. It goes not in the good. Negative column, if there is one. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it is part of myself that I struggle with. There are things I don't like to do, and I do them because I need to do them, and they're important to do them. And the air guns were something I liked doing. You know, the side of it, Brad, is that in that time, I've kind of gone back and forth with it. You know, I went with, this is kind of fun. This is kind of a diversion. Ooh, maybe I can make some money with it. And in my own flesh, you know, another real deficiency in my, you know, my carnal man is that I love money. I love it. So if there's a dollar to be made, I want to make it. And that's not a good trait. Okay. The love of money is the root of all evil, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a bad part of my carnal man that thankfully the Lord has, you know, shown me how to have deliverance from that. So there was
a redeemer.
It went from, you know, a hobby, something I like, to something, oh gosh, I got to earn a buck doing this. That's great. And I actually let the other stuff kind of fall away, because I sort of resented the work. I had resented the thing God had given me originally. And then there was an adjustment. In fact, just last year, there was a real adjustment in, it started a little bit the year before. I had a conversation, with the two conferences ago with Brother Davey and Brother Steve telling me that, you love yourself, you don't love God. That's, you know, the smack across the face to try and get your attention. And you're about your thing and not God's thing. And, you know, I had pretty much convinced myself that, what do you mean? Of course I'm about God's thing. And then the Lord began to show me how that just wasn't true. And so after that became the adjustment year. And, you know, it came to the place where I almost lost all the air gun business because
I didn't know that.
I'll just tell you guys sort of what happened. You know, it was, I loved doing it, but I loved doing it more than doing the things of God. And for my own sake, the Lord just put it, you know, said, all right, let's see how you're going to do with this. And things started to sort of unravel pretty dramatically. Last year, I lost over 40%, probably over 40% of my sponsors, my sponsorship revenue. And, you know, that was probably about, let's see, some quick math here. Let's just say a $30,000 hit to my income. So that's a pretty significant hit. I mean, had not the Lord had grace on me, that, you know, somebody else to take that kind of hit, they'd, you know,
they
wouldn't have a house, they would have a car, they'd be out homeless, really. But God's grace to me was really repenting of and receiving that admonition that I had received, that correction. Say, all right, Lord, show me, what do I do to fix this? And he began showing me how I had to reinvent, if, you know, to be in his will with this stuff, how to really put him first in it and let him put things together. And this year has far surpassed everything I lost last year. But it's under a new focus. So it's about being profitable for the Lord and his work and what he has going on more so than the other. And now those things that I used to really hate doing, well, I'm not going to say I get up in the morning and have a super, I'm like, I get to go do that. I mean, they're not something I run away from anymore. They're a necessary part of what I do, and I do it, and I give thanks to God for the opportunity to do it, because in doing so, it glorifies him. And as I have put him first in those things and seek to put him first in those things, the Lord has blessed unbelievably. I had people tell me, I have this new project this year, and you know, I'm the underdog of underdogs really here. I mean, I had nothing. I had three guys that were willing to put in some sweat to do a thing, and we did it. And I was told, oh, you're wasting your time. It'll never happen. You'll never get support, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's amazing how God can set that at naught and bring about what he wants.
What was the thing you did?
Well, I've been doing just content creation, which is, you know, product reviews and whatnot. The new thing I'm doing is called Airgun Web TV, which is a sort of a TV style show. It's longer. It's multi segments. We deal instead of just, if you look at any of my work on YouTube, you're going to see your typical product review. We'll call it the atypical product review because mine are better. Haha. But. You see, I have one product, I talk about one product, I demonstrate the product, and I'm done. It's 5 to 6 minutes, we're over. And that's what I do. And the Lord's blessed me with some real skills to do it well, and I thank him for it. But it's that was limited, and that was only going to go so far. So I was really looking for something that could broaden our reach. And there's some guys here, I got Aaron and Cecil and Ben. Ben's our videographer. And I said, guys, I really want to do a TV-style show. And I had been part of a show called American Air Gunner for a few years. And last year was actually an associate producer for the show. And I really said, gosh, there's space. They're missing some pieces. They're missing some areas. And I'd like to see if we can fill that gap. And we did a 7-episode pilot last year. Just, you know, we were just going to do it for free. And even that, the Lord brought in sponsors to fund that, which was pretty awesome. You know, to cover that. And as we roll into this year, we've got funding for 12 episodes this year. And it's over and above all the other stuff. And where I lost ground on the other, I gained probably 50% of that ground back. You know, so it's putting my eyes on the Lord and recognizing the truth of the correction that I was given and seeking to have that not be the case anymore as far as me being about my stuff.
Would it be safe to say, Rick, you were under new management?
Yeah, really. That's a good way to put it, James. And the other side, too, is, you know, I really started taking discipleship more seriously. You know, I talk with Brother Steve as often as we need to, about once a week is our schedule. And it's been really, really beneficial. I mean, that when we rolled into, I did the 7-episode pilot, and then I had to pitch this. I mean, we're going to SHOT Show under my own power. I mean, out of my own pocket. Last year before, I had a sponsor. This year, I had no sponsor, so it was me. I was taking myself. Megan came to help. Cheryl came to help. They were awesome. Sue was there to help. I mean, we had this crew. Frankly, we looked pretty impressive. You know, God was really good in that. And they did a great job, and we got great content. And in the process, I got to talk and meet to all the people I had to. But I had taken this media kit. Well, I was pretty impressed with myself creating it, by the way. And I gave it to Steve, and he's like, no, I don't think this is going to work. I'm like, but it's awesome. And then it got the Steve red pen, and then I reworked it. And then he looked at it, and I reworked it. Then he looked at it, and I reworked it. Then he looked at it, and I reworked it. And eventually it kind of distilled it down actually to something that was so much better than what I had originally, because I was rather just way too wordy. And you only have a couple minutes. You got to really pitch yourself and like the New York Minute kind of thing. But just that, you know, you talk about discipleship, and James, you and I, I disciple you, and we talk about spiritual things, right?
Correct.
But we also talk about just things, right? Like work.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I was taking this stuff to Steve and I started to listen to that correction, take it, God moved. And we've had that same thing, right, James, where we talk about it last week with the carport.
Correct. Great blessing.
Carports are spiritual.
Well, there was a spiritual principle. There was a spiritual principle at work there. And the same thing for me, you know, submitting myself to Steve. And there's been many times where I've wanted to make a change. And I've come to not just accept, but appreciate. Okay, I had some opportunities to take, like, positions. I got offered a job, but it would require moving and all kinds of things. I really wanted to do it because it meant I didn't have to do all this other stuff anymore. You know, to me, it was like that easy way out in a sense. It was pretty good money too. I mean, it was $70,000 a year and, you know, doing, you know, air gun stuff. And it would have been, you know, but I would have had to give up all this other stuff I'd built, and it would have put me under like working for somebody, you know, like working for a company. And Steve and Dad said, we don't think you should do it. Well, all I wanted to hear was, I think it's a great idea. They said, we don't think you should do it. I'm like, God, when I really, really want to. I think you went through some of that. That's funny, Phil. I hadn't put two and two together. But I remember you wanting to take a job.
Yes. Oh, you're talking about going back to Georgia's there, and going back to the cabinet shop. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
And anyway, you know, I reluctantly submitted only because probably in a resentful way, if I'm being honest. But I did. And now I see why it was a good thing and thank God for it. And now I appreciate that instruction more than I, you know, more, well, I just appreciate it now. Where I used to resent it, you know, I appreciate it.
No, I mean, I hear you. Well, it's interesting to kind of hear you, you know, testify to some of those things, right? Because, you know, it's like, what I've seen, and the biggest thing that I've seen in just that testimony, what you're saying was, one, you had this great grand idea that was wrong, that was off, and you didn't realize some things. But when the truth came to you, one of the things that happened was you turned and you repented. And then another idea that you thought was great and awesome, you turned and repented. And then each time you turned and repented and then submitted yourself unto Jesus through that, through his line of authority there, you were blessed mightily. And you can see where the scripture talks about abundantly above you can ask or think, just sit there and roll out before you. It's kind of interesting as I'm hearing it.
You know what it is for me, Phil? One, it's humbling because I know me. And we talked, read a little bit today in Galatians about the carnal man, that the works of the flesh are these. And it sort of ends like, and such like. I mean, that's not the full list. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a partial list. It's all bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know me. And I know my flesh is my carnal man's natural inclination. So I know that, and it's, you know, part of this growth that I've had over the last couple of years in this is really demonstrated to me that this success, it's not my success, it's God's success.
Amen.
Because me, I'd make all the wrong choices.
Amen.
I'm not that smart. God has been incredibly gracious. And it's a testimony to his success. When it says in Deuteronomy 28 that if you love him and you keep his commandments and all these things will come up, all these good things will come upon you. I mean, you will not be able to outrun the blessings is the inference. You follow Amen. Me? And I can tell you, it's absolutely true. You cannot outrun God's blessings when you have committed yourself to live for him and submitted yourself to that, you can't outrun his goodness. I wish more people would get that, because I know so many people that are struggling and hurting and are dying. And it's only because they don't want to change their address. Brother Davey came on before and he asked, he said, do you know why people want to live in the crime-ridden areas and not in the non-crime-ridden areas? Because crooks, it's easier for crooks to hide where there's crime. You know, if you accept the Lord, there's going to be a change.
Amen. You know, and that's, I mean, just in your testimony, you can see the power of God do all those things. And you can see the power of God do all those things in your life and in your work and all those things. I mean, that's what I see, is the power of God. And like you said, it was nothing that you did. You're not that smart. And it was the power of God that changed all those things. And I remember kind of mentioning a little bit this morning, and I was talking about Rahab there for a little bit. You know what? I mean, what changed Rahab was the power of God. It changed Rahab's life. You can take none credit, no credit for. And he gets all the glory. Just like in your life, he gets all the glory. Just like in James' life, he gets all the glory. Just like in Brad's life, he gets all the glory. And it was the power of God that changed and that moved in a powerful way there. And you see what happens, and you take heed to that, the power of God's right there for you if you would just receive it, if you would just have it. One of the things you're talking about being a humbling thing was you were in listening and taking heed to what Steve was telling you, is you receiving Jesus and letting that power of God work in your life.
Let me jump in for a second, Phil.
Because, absolutely.
I don't want people to think that I like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for telling me. That wasn't my initial reaction. You know, my initial reaction was self-justification. But I didn't stay there.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to ask the question that you just answered, because you're on a track, you know, and this is a thought out thing. And you talk about supporting your family. It's a big deal. And then you get told to do something that's maybe not totally at odds, but different than what you thought. And, I guess it makes me feel more normal, I guess, because when you get told something that's across the grain like that, I know for myself, I can hear something, and I may even know it's right. It takes me, I don't know, minutes, days, whatever, to wrap myself around it and actually do it sometimes, not to my credit.
No, like the key is to get quicker, right? The key is to, you know, get out of that. You know, one of the things that really struck me today, again, in reading through Galatians, was the idea that, you know, you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and that lust of the flesh is the need to justify itself.
It's also, Rick, when you decide that you don't know better, you're really willing to hear what people have to say.
Amen. And you're talking about when you justify yourself, you keep yourself from receiving those good things. You really do, because you're just. You already think kind of like James, what you're saying. You really don't know better. I mean, when you're justifying yourself, you're sitting there saying, "I know
better."
Because
you think you know better.
Exactly.
But you'll acknowledge that your line of authority is your line of authority in God and what you need, and yet you'll still try to justify yourself because you think you know better.
But I don't know that it's always just that, James. I believe sometimes it's simply fear. It's just fear. And you find, you know, like Phil said it last couple of weeks, you know, Christ is a redeemer. You know, God is really good. He understands where we're at. He really, really gets it because he did it. And I don't think he holds it against us.
What do we need to fear?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not justifying it. Yeah, it's not a right way to approach anything. But I don't know that it's so much just outright rebellion against what's being said to us, I guess is what
it's
I'm driving.
It's rebellion in this respect.
High-minded.
Well, I mean, let's just back it up to something more down to earth and more maybe. Let's see if we can just approach it logically. You're a very analytical kind of engineering kind of guy, Brad. So let's look at it this way.
Oh, that's never been a good way to start anything. But go ahead.
But let's look at it this way. Okay, so we say fear. Fear of what? Well, fear of being wrong. Well, that's pride.
Financial loss. Failure.
That's okay. Fear of financial loss. Well, the Bible says that if we put him first, we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And all these things are all the things he just went through that deal with our physical sustenance.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's then unbelief, which is I don't believe God will do it, so I have to do it, which is therefore pride. You see, if you start distilling it down, fear is just in the same way you have joy and peace and all these things are like attributes of love. You know, fear is one of those attributes of pride.
Well, that has to be right. If you start going after anything troubling you, you're always going to come back to pride, right?
You are, and that's going to manifest in like as many ways as you can imagine and some that you haven't thought of yet. It's just one of those incessant things that comes at our core because in our carnal man is evil and it is
nothing
continuously.
Good.
So when you get hit with that, I mean, our first nature, unfortunately, is the carnal man. Our second nature is the spirit. We are learning to continue to put off and crucify, as we read today, and I think other scriptures talk about the same thing there in Romans, if you go back and look at it a little bit, to crucify that old man, to put it down, to put it away, to put it off, and cleave and walk after and choose that spirit. And if your soul, the seat of your will, if your heart is to serve God, that's going to be your focus, is to serve God. The thing is that, Phil, you talked about your past today, right?
Yeah.
Well, I could look at my past and go, look at all the times I made bad choices. I'm no good. Wah. That's first of all, it's completely unfruitful. And it's the past. Yeah. And it doesn't matter anymore. Because God's grace, when I ask forgiveness, what happens to that stuff? Does he hold it over my head?
No.
It's gone. He wipes away the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, that stuff, when we repent, when we turn back to God, look, he says, my little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you sin, look, I'd be great if you didn't sin. But if you sin, guess what? I got that covered too.
Amen.
You know, that's the goodness of God. I mean, we can't disappoint him. It's not like we can do something evil that he didn't expect, per se. I mean, there has been some times where he was like, gosh, I never entered my mind you'd do such a thing. I guess he can be somewhat shocked in that regard. But, I mean, realistically, that we're bad or evil or that we're inclined to be prideful or selfish or self-centered, that's not going to shock him. Doesn't mean that we just live that way and that's where we choose to abide. I mean, that's not right either.
No.
But we choose the Spirit. And in the Spirit, choosing the Spirit is choosing what? And we again, in Galatians, the whole law is wrapped into one thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's about loving one another. You love God, you love one another. Isn't everything wrapped up in those two things?
Amen.
If you can wrap yourself around that, then then that's, gosh, it's a much better place to live. I got to tell you.
So as we go through our Christian walk and we hit these points that we were just discussing, then the span of time between hearing something that we don't maybe comprehend very well or agree with and being willing to comply, that should get shorter and shorter. And the goal would be in the moment, right?
That would be the hope. I mean, I aspire to be instant.
Well, I would have to say
more instant than others. I wish I could profess that I've got a perfect handle on it. I would just be lying. I'd be misrepresenting the truth. That's just not the case. There are times I have to deal with being angry and being frustrated and being mad and not liking what I'm hearing. And then I kind of get to the place a lot like the disciples did when Jesus turned to them and said, are you going to leave too? And you remember what they said?
Where would we go?
Where are we going to go?
Yeah, I've been there.
Words of eternal life. And for me, I thank God that he has, in my heart, manifest himself known to me in a way that is, you just can't deny it. And that's been done over years and years and years of experience and demonstration of his love and his grace. And I know that there's no other place to be except in him and with him. And no matter how much it feels like something I don't want to do, I know that I can reject that and make that nonsense. And here's the thing that I have personally found. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's only as uncomfortable and painful. It's only that way as long up until I make the choice for it not to be.
Aha, I'm normal. Yeah, and that's one of the...
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, and that's one of those, you know, it talks about no man, you know, if he's plowing and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. But a guy plowing actually does, he'll look back. But the intent isn't, you know, the leeks and onions of Egypt. The intent is, am I plowing straight? And so...
Now, you're mixing metaphors, bro.
Okay, all right.
You're mixing metaphors. Because
where I'm going is
about not the whole passage about not fit for the kingdom of God is that he's not ready yet. You know, that passage is that, you know, when you put your hand to it and you quit. Phil, how many times did you put your hand to the plow and quit?
Many.
He's still holding on.
Many. I don't even know how many.
Yeah, James, how many times did you put your hand to the plow and quit?
A few.
Brad,
more
how many
than
times
a few.
You put your hands to the plow and quit?
It was well in excess of twice.
Yeah. So, you know, when now you guys have put your hand to the plow and you haven't quit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we've strapped your hands, Brad, and chained you to the plow. I don't know. But the point is, you haven't quit. And Phil, the Lord, like, you know, the vision I have is he used a nail gun and drove your nails, your feet to the floor so you couldn't run away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Lord has his ways of getting you ready.
And as we walk that path, then we can look back. You know, maybe a better scripture would be, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because at that point, we can look back. You know, you get presented with something new, and I say for myself, I get presented with something new, and I think, oh, man, I'm not going to do it. But I can look back and understand based on experience, my own experience, as the years roll by. Okay, it's going to be all right. You know, this is a right thing. It's okay. It may not feel right, and I may not go into it with a perfect heart, which isn't to my credit. But even at that, I could trust because I know from experience.
You know, I think that's a better way to state what you're trying to get across, Brad. You know, when you go and you were talking about Rahab today, Phil.
Yeah.
She didn't believe in Jesus Christ, nor did she trust in the grace of Christ, because she didn't know him, nor did she know what grace was.
Okay.
But she did believe in God. Or believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was what?
It counted him for righteousness.
There you go. She believed God. And it was counted for her for righteousness. You know, salvation today is the same.
Yeah, it never has changed.
We believe God. We believe God in Christ. I mean, we know who Christ is. Now us, yes, grace, Jesus, absolutely. Amen?
Amen.
But
amen.
Still, it's believing God.
And God's on our side. You know, it says in John 3, you know, he's not, what is that? Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish.
Once you go back to the whole God is on our side stuff, you need to walk away from that phrase too.
Yeah, that's good. But he is on our side. He is.
Oh, hold on. No, he's not.
No, he has made his choice for us. We
here's the problem. Here's the problem with that phrase, okay? It makes the gospel man-centric. Just chew on that for a moment, okay?
All right.
That phrase, he is on our side, makes the gospel man-centric. The gospel is about Jesus, not man.
And the will of Christ is that none should perish. It won't go that way because there's so much free will going on down here.
Well, I mean, you're making it more intellectual that you're just back away for a minute. Just back away from that perception for a moment and realize that God loved mankind, creation, and he made a way for it to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he made a way, and I've talked about this before. It's the difference between God has a plan for you and God has a plan. You see, God is on your side is in the house of God has a plan for you.
Yep.
Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen God the old four spiritual laws tracks.
God has a plan means he has made a way. You can choose to be part of it. You can elect to choose his plan and be part of that. That's the gift, is that he's made a way out. So just be cautious when you're talking about God's on your side. That's one of those, that's when we talked about be careful of the leaven today in Galatians. That's one of those little bits of leaven that'll hang you up. Because that turns the gospel from being about God to being about you.
Yeah, and when we come to that gospel, we come to the Lord tainted, and going back to Rahab, there was so much she didn't know or understand. And yet, you know, a contrite heart, it doesn't take much to get the Lord's attention.
She and just he really believed is, God.
She yeah, believed and he's that. Yeah,
Phil, were you trying to say something?
No.
James, you were trying to say something? Somebody I thought was trying to say something.
I wasn't, but that plan does not hinge on any single person. God is going to fulfill his plan with or without me or you or anybody else.
Right. We could see that demonstrated when he was coming into Jerusalem, and he said if it wasn't for the people, the rocks and trees would cry out.
Yeah, this is going to get done.
So... anyway, what else, guys? We got a few minutes left.
I have managed to slow down and go fishing a couple of times.
Okay.
Well, Rick, I think an important thing, which you in your service last Sunday spoke about, but you kind of hitting on with what's happened with you and the air gun stuff in the last few years, is the obedience, where when you became obedient to your authority and what God had for you is when that stuff really turned around.
That's true.
And it is that simple. If we're obedient, that's when God can move. I mean, and disobedience, he can't be a part of unbelief, and a disobedience is unbelief.
Well, guys, it's a quarter of. We could stop now if you guys are done for the day. If there's nothing else, we can call it a day and call it an early day and get ready for the Texas service. Or if there's something else you guys want to discuss, we have a few minutes, but no sense to drag it out unnecessarily.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, Ricky. And James.
Yeah, I'm done. No.
Well, if we're done, let's be done then. Guys, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you coming up today. And James and Phil and Brad.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you.
Well, guys, that's it for today. Thank you for coming to listen to the Hour of Truth. We're going to wrap it up early. And I hope you guys will stick around for the Texas service, which will be coming up at the top of the hour. This is Rick. Fishman Ministry, Eagle Radio Network. I guess we'll sign off, guys. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.